Hey, welcome to the List Film Podcast. This is our 7th episode. Damn.
All right. Lucky number 7.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't, our first-time listeners, we're a weekly podcast where we pick a topic and then we list and discuss our top 5 favorite films of that topic. This week's topic being favorite sequels. It could be part 2, part 3, part 10, whatever. You know, if you're a fan of Saw, then you probably love Saw 3D. So maybe that's on your list.
But you won't like this.
Not on us.
Because it's not on this list.
Brian, why are you talking? I haven't introduced it yet. For those of you who are regular listeners to the podcast, we usually have 4 hosts. One of them is a girl, Jenny Coyle. She is out of town on Christmas vacation still. So we have her replacement, who's another girl, Brian Perrell.
Sadly.
Yeah.
I feel like feminists might be offended by that.
Yeah.
You are stuck with me.
So for the new listeners, I'm Ricardo.
Brian.
Adam Scott.
And I'm Kevin.
So 4 guys talking about movies.
Why does he get a last name?
Because I have 2 first names.
Yeah. So anyway, this week's topic, sequels. Did anybody have our time with that list? No?
No.
I didn't either.
I did
narrowing it down.
There's a lot of sequels.
Yeah.
Narrowing it down, I did have a...
Hard time I had was trying to figure out what you guys were going to be putting on your list, so we don't have to.
So, just to clarify, my list was based on...
You guys do that?
Yes, we do.
You guys purposely, like, I'm not going
to... Well,
I
want people to hear about more than just the 5 films that we all like.
Exactly. So, my list is sequels that don't... Some of my movies get a little love, but some don't. So, I'm kind of bringing movies that don't get enough love. And hopefully it's a little different than everybody else's, but maybe we all did that.
But then what if I'm sitting here thinking like, oh, he doesn't like Brian, that because he didn't put it on his list?
Brian doesn't just shut the fuck up, dude. I'm kidding.
If a person doesn't like it, they'll say we don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
That's because it's a communal thing where we can chime in like you did on the last episode quite frequently.
Okay, so for anybody listening, I don't do that. My list is pure.
Well,
God damn it.
You're lame and you're stupid. But anyway... So, any movies we've seen this week?
Kevin?
Any movies, streaming, anything.
Kevin, for $7?
Yes. On a program called Vudu, I streamed Margin Call for $7.
Ah, that's on Redbox soon.
Soon, but not yet.
Whenever this airs, it might be on.
Maybe. How is Margin Call?
The acting is awesome. Everybody just does a great job of playing their character, and the writing's really good. I'm not the smartest person, and talking about financial stuff can be kind of confusing, but JC Shandor does a very good job of not losing your interest in the film or making it too hard to understand what is going on. Jeremy Irons does such a great job of just not caring about anybody except for himself.
Who's the performance standout in that one?
Because
it's a big cast.
It is a big cast. Jeremy Irons is great. Paul Bettany is awesome.
I've heard Spacey.
No, I mean, it's hard to say, oh, well, Kevin Spacey's in this. Well, he's obviously going to be one of the best because it's Kevin Spacey, and he always just owns up to his role and does a great job.
He's really good in See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
Yes.
He's so good in that movie.
Swimming with Sharks. Yeah. I'll give a shout out to that.
Yes.
Now, that film's interesting to me because I haven't seen it yet, but I just remember it was kind of lukewarm out of Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
But then now it's winning a ton of Best First Feature awards. And I'm like, wait, what's the deal? Nobody really liked it. Now it's winning all these awards. And
I mean, it's a really good, just solid movie with great performances and some really good writing.
Have you seen Inside Job? The documentary?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Okay. Because that, I mean, I wonder how it compares the fictionalized version compared to documentary. Because, again, that stuff is, you know, completely foreign to me. But Inside Job does a brilliant job of just laying it on the table so that anybody can understand.
Yeah. I guess rating-wise, I paid $7 for it. I'd say that's it is a good, very good movie, but it's not necessarily something I would rush out to see in the theaters. It's not the most visually stunning movie or anything. It just has really good writing, great acting.
Yeah, I was interested in seeing... I saw the trailer, and it came out at the theater right around the corner from me, but I was like, I just didn't want to pony up the dough. I mean, if I'd had MoviePass at the time, then I would have gone and seen it.
Yes,
but
exactly.
I didn't have MoviePass yet, so I didn't go.
And so, knowing now that you've seen it, would you have paid $7 to stream it again?
Yes. Oh, I would definitely pay $7.
Or wait $1 for Redbox.
If it happens to be in Redbox at the same time to stream it for $7, yes, go to Redbox. But I would pay. I didn't mind that I paid $7 for it. I enjoyed the movie, and I didn't feel cheated out of my money. I felt I paid. I had a good investment.
Would that not be your best first feature?
Brian just keeps of interrupting. 2011.
No, I didn't interrupt anybody.
I loved Martha Marcy May Marlene.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Now, so you'd pay $7. Yes. And you'd be good with it. Okay. I might have to check that out.
I saw one other film as well.
You didn't. I'm kidding, dude. You have time. Adam, any new movies you've
seen? Yeah, I got two movies. A little movie called The Adventures of Tintin.
Ooh.
In 3D?
Not in 3D. I have not. But I will see it in 3D.
So you'll go see it again in
3D? I will go see it again in 3D.
Is it?
It's kind of amazing. It's what Indiana Jones 4 should have been.
Ooh.
It's,
really?
Yeah, it's actually, like, I didn't...
Should we preface that by saying Indiana Jones 4 is terrible?
Yes.
Or is that just the known fact?
It's a known
like,
fact.
Like, ignore Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull and just think Adventures of Tintin, what Secret
if,
of the Unicorn.
What if that's in Brian's list of favorite
Then Brian's on the wrong show.
No, all I keep hearing is the best action scene of the year is the motorcycle chase. If that means anything to you... After seeing it,
it's kind of an amazing action scene. Yeah.
I think I see tidbits in the trailer that just also give me chills already.
Yeah, you see a little.
Where I'm like, oh, what?
A little tease of it.
Tintin.
It's so good though, and because I didn't read the Tintin comics, I remember growing up reading comics. And people were like, oh, some people were always big on Tintin, and I never really got into it. But after seeing the movie, I'm like, I'll read some Tintin. That was kind
of
cool.
I'd never heard of Tintin before this was announced.
I got a chance to see some of the footage at Comic-Con this year in 3D, and it 3D looked amazing. It worked really well for this.
Right. What sold me on, because I was lukewarm about it, again, not knowing much about Tintin, until I saw the preview of Tintin before Hugo in 3D, and that looked amazing. So even now that I've seen it already, I want to see it again in 3D, because it looks, that 3D looks
so trailers for 3D movies always play better in 3D.
Yeah.
Like even the Titanic thing was like, hey... I'm not going to see it, but the Titanic 3D trailer looked a lot better.
I got MoviePass. I'll go see it.
MoviePass. Brought to you by MoviePass.
No, Tintin.
Not yet, dude. Until they give us the passes.
Yeah, we're not brought to you by
So yet. Will you go see it with me then?
I'll totally go see it with you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's great.
But I have to pay because I don't have MoviePass.
Yep.
Well, yeah. We're not going to pay for you, jerk.
Yeah.
Why would we do that, dude?
It's really good. You should check it out.
I'm definitely looking forward to that. Is that a Christmas movie?
It's Wednesday.
Oh,
which is okay. Not Wednesday when you're listening to this. It's the 21st. So yes, Christmas, but everything comes out early.
Yeah, but people usually wait till Christmas because they work on Wednesday, dude. So
I might not.
Well,
can we get two Spielberg movies in 1 week? I mean, remember when you got two in a year and that was kind of cool?
I'm
getting two in a week.
I'm gonna say it. War Horse does not look interesting to me. I don't want to see a movie about a horse.
There's a newer trailer that Brian just actually featured in his post on his top 10 trailers of the year on shootingthescript.wordpress.com, our blog that we co-founded.
Shootingthescript.wordpress.com.
Yeah, what he said. that trailer is what seeing the newest trailer for War Horse on the big screen sells the movie for me.
The cinematography.
There's so much more. Because at first it just looks like Black Stallion Part 3. It looks like a horse movie.
Yeah, I'm not a horse movie guy either.
Yeah, I don't care.
But as I say in that post, the trailer just gets the waterworks going.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't even care about it. No, I care about the horse by the end. It's
what's it? Be brave. Be brave.
Yeah.
Be brave.
Benedict, the best name ever of a new actor.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch. Yep. And it just, be brave.
Yeah.
And then wait. Be brave. It's so good.
It's a good trailer. It makes the movie look kind of awesome.
Even if you don't like horses.
But I am looking forward to Tintin, and which was, you know, co-written by Cornish and Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
And
I didn't realize...
And Stephen Moffat.
Yeah, Stephen Moffat.
I didn't realize who all... I didn't know...
Cornish?
No, I mean, in the movie. I didn't know Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are their voices in the movie.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig.
And Serkis.
Andy Serkis, of course. He's great. And then Jamie Bell as Tintin.
Who has had a good year, I think.
What else...
He was in.
He was in Jane Eyre.
Jane Eyre. He's good.
Brief, like a little.
He's good,
tiny part, but yeah, he's good. No, I'm just saying the part wasn't that big.
The Eagle, which wasn't a great movie, but he was good in.
Yeah.
Come on, after Billy Elliot, did you think the guy would still be around? No,
yeah, I did.
Yeah,
no. I liked Billy Elliot.
No, I'm not saying Billy Elliot was bad. I'm just saying that's one of those things where it's like you see the kid stars
in
the movie.
No.
Not too many people grow up to be
being
Christian Bale.
Another 2 hour long. Episode,
okay, so
and you gave me a nice segue into another movie I saw, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Which is by the director, Billy Elliot, and sucks.
Really?
That's all you have to say? It sucks.
I was really looking forward to it. So
yeah, because the trailer
really... You were looking
really
forward to that? Have you seen Stephen Daldry's other movies?
Yeah, but the trailer kind of got me interested.
I saw Billy Elliot.
Okay.
Sure I wanted to see.
It sucks. Other than Billy Elliot, does anybody like The Hours or The Reader? Hands up.
No.
I'm okay with The Reader.
I'm okay with The Reader, too.
Oh, yeah, just because Kate Winslet's naked the whole time.
No. I've seen Kate Winslet naked so many times. It doesn't matter. That's not the reason.
Not close like this. Not like this. No, you haven't.
Brian's about to get kicked out of the podcast.
Okay, it sucks, though. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
Brian's acting like he acts when he gets drunk.
I had some rum cookies. It's crazy.
Look, to be fair, it's got some nice moments in it, and Max von Sydow is great.
Oscar great?
Max von, does he have an Oscar yet? Because he should have got one for The Exorcist.
Only
back in
one
the day.
Nomination for a movie I haven't seen, which is Pelle the Conqueror.
Okay. Max von Sydow is very good. Sandra Bullock is pretty good. Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks. But the kid, it's not the kid's acting. Again, it comes back to Hugo not liking the character. I don't like the kid. I feel like it's really tough for me to go along with child protagonists these days. Like,
you mean he doesn't shake that tambourine for all it's worth?
I don't understand what they never say. Like, oh, they say, oh, hey, they tested me for Asperger's, but the tests are still out. So does he have Asperger's? Why is he such an asshole? Why do I hate this kid so much? Is it because I have no soul? Am I black? Do I have a black soul? Am I heartless? Is that why? Yes, I have a black soul. You can say it.
You have a black soul, dude.
I've got soul and
we'll
I'm
just tell
bad.
Each other the other person has a black soul. We'll
okay.
Just...
You have a black soul.
But then again, we were crying at the Warhorse trailer. How black can it
Whoa,
be?
Whoa, I didn't say I cried.
You said you
yeah,
cried.
You said
cried.
Yeah, you did say you cried.
I still haven't seen this trailer.
Only if you see it on the big screen, that trailer gets to you.
The Warhorse?
Yeah.
It does. Seeing it on the big screen helps. But anyway, extremely loud and incredibly close. The kid's an asshole. He treats everyone like shit. Max von Sydow's awesome. The story...
So you didn't relate?
The mystery makes a little bit more sense than the mystery in Hugo.
Yeah.
So, the two of them together...
They both have missing keys and dead fathers.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that the only movie you saw?
That was two, yeah.
And then Brian?
My kids have been sick, so I haven't got to the theater, but I did see this very small film called Terry.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if anybody's heard of that one.
Yeah,
yes.
It's about a overweight high school kid, and it's got John C. Reilly, and it's pretty good. It's got some weird, interesting sexual things. You know, kid, you know, how nobody knows what the hell is going on when they're a teenager. And John C. Reilly has had a quietly amazing year. He was in this. He was in We Need to Talk About Kevin. He's really good. I haven't seen Carnage yet. I think Adam did.
I did. I really liked Carnage. It wasn't amazing, but it's good. It's a solid movie.
And I think John C. Reilly's best performance this year was Cedar Rapids, if anybody's seen that. Yep. Deansy Needs Details. That movie's... pretty good. He's funny in it. But for a nice small movie about an odd kid out, Terry, I would recommend that.
Cool. The only thing I saw was streaming, I saw Fallen, because people had been talking about the twist ending at the end. It's great at the end, though. Fallen. Denzel Washington.
Oh, I was going to say.
John Goodman?
Yeah, John Goodman.
That had a good trailer. Never saw it.
Yeah, it had a really good trailer. The beginning was really cool. I was like, oh, where is this going? This is going to be awesome. And then the ending came, and I was like, this movie sucked. This movie was horrible.
It's with the time, right? Time.
Yeah. Time, the Rolling Stones. Keep singing that song. Time is... What is the song called again?
Time is on my side.
Time is on my side, yeah. And,
yes, it is.
Elias Koteas was amazing in the beginning.
When is he not?
When is he not? John Goodman was great. There's another actor that I'm neglecting. But anyway, it was the first half was great. Last half was horrible.
It's not worth my time.
It's not worth your time.
It's like a Seven ripoff. Yeah.
Yes. This is pre-Seven.
I kind of like it still. Anyway, I mean, I know it's not as good as Seven, but I enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
I thought that was more like a Stir of Echoes type of thing.
No.
It's closer to Seven.
Yeah. Okay.
It was like this.
Or Shocker? Shocker?
Stigmata.
Isn't that like Shocker's plot?
Denzel.
Shocker?
Wes Craven?
What about?
Isn't that the same sort of like the... He gets executed and he comes
back.
This
is totally different.
Okay.
Totally different,
dude.
Shocker, he can go through the TV.
You're out of your element, dude. You're out of your element.
And that's Mitch Pileggi. Or Pileggi, however you want to say it. Mitch Pileggi. He's the Shocker.
Okay.
That's kind of an awesome movie.
I've not seen it, but there's a poster of that in my work. And every day I see Shocker and I'm like, what is this movie?
Now, Brian, do you have a streaming of the week?
Me?
Somebody? I mean, Kevin.
I don't have
anything. Yeah. Meek's Cut Off.
Meek's Cut Off. That's
Meek's
right.
Cut Off.
Yeah.
It's now streaming on Netflix, so check that out. And should we get to the list?
Yes.
I think we should. I think you should start.
Oh, I should start now. Okay. So, like I said, the list this week is favorite sequels, mm-hmm. whether it's part 2, 3, 10, whatever it is.
I don't think you're going to see any 10s.
Well, you never know. not somebody on
will,
my list.
Somebody will get knifed if that happens.
But I'm kind of doing the movies that don't get a lot of love. So my number 5 is 1980s Superman 2.
Nice.
It's
the Richard Donner cut or the...
You know what? I don't mind the Lester cut.
Richard Lester.
Just the
Richard
theatrical. Lester. Just theatrical.
Yeah, theatrical one's okay. The Richard Donner one, it's not that different, you know.
This is Planet Houston.
Yeah. But the theatrical, that's what I saw originally, and I love that movie. It's General Zod. It's a much better story than the first one.
Yes.
First one was a lot of like, where is he from? A lot of, you know, getting a lot of stuff out of the way. Part 2 was like right to it. And it links up part 1, you know. But what?
It doesn't have Richard Pryor.
It doesn't. And doesn't have.
You're the one that made me watch this before Superman Returns.
Yeah, I did.
I hadn't seen it. We got it. And,
it's great, right?
And then he puts you in the contraption from Clockwork Orange. He made you watch this movie?
No, it's just, I mean, I'm more of a Batman guy, and it's fine.
It's the best of the Superman.
It's the best of the Superman. I mean, it still has the things that I have problems with Superman.
Superman 3. Yeah.
But it does have, you're right, it does have Terrence Stamp kicking. It does have Terrence Stamp just, you know, owning every scene, and it does have the more memorable scenes, the more memorable fights set pieces.
And this movie gets me pumped up for the new Zod, which is Michael Shannon.
Shannon, who is phenomenal.
Yeah, so
General Zod is just a great villain.
He's such a great villain. Yeah. And I'm curious to see who's playing the other villain.
Do you need to do the plot for this movie?
Superman. He's super. He does some super shit.
Superman agrees to sacrifice his powers to marry Lois, unaware that there are three Kryptonian criminals.
Goddamn women bringing everybody down.
He inadvertently released... are conquering or whatever.
You can't even leave Superman alone. It's nothing sacred.
But anyway, I love this. I love Gene Hackman. Come on, it's a good movie.
It's fun.
It's fun. Doesn't get enough love.
My kids liked it, Kevin. Especially when the kid falls down the Niagara Falls.
Your kid likes watching the kid fall down. Do we need to talk about Holden?
Yeah, no. After we watched it, he's like, "Dad, look!" And he's like pretending to lean over. I'm like, "I don't want you to do that on the couch. Fine, not when we go."
To the Grand Canyon.
I'm falling.
Kevin, you're number 4. You're number 5, sorry.
My number 5 comes from 1995, and it's Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Honorable mention. Mine too. Honorable mention.
I love this movie. I think it can hold up against Die Hard. I mean,
it's about equal.
Yeah. And I love the chemistry between Bruce Willis and Samuel Jackson.
Zeus?
Yes, with Zeus, yes.
Do I look Puerto Rican to you? So many quotable things in that movie.
And Jeremy Irons is a great, great bad guy. Everything, the scenes together, the dialogue with them together, the action throughout the film. The opening is...
Don't do that again.
No, okay.
Can't really stop.
Stop it, Brian. What the hell are you doing?
That hurts my ears.
My favorite quote. Take a look around. All the cops are into something. You could steal City Hall. Oh shit! It clicked. Movie's fantastic.
What year was this, Brian?
95.
This is 95.
We don't want to hear any more of your shitty problems.
I'll give you a quick plot summary of it. It's John McClane and a store owner must play a bomber's deadly game as they race around New York while trying to stop him.
It's got Sam Jackson. What do you need? What else do you need?
I know. Sam Jackson, who's just terrific in this film.
He was right off of Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. And his anger at times is great. His humor is great. And just the way he interacts with John is great. I mean, there's just, I don't know what else to say, but it's just, I just love this movie.
Enough said.
Yeah, it's a great, great movie. And on to my number 5.
Yeah.
I went with The Exorcist 3 by William Peter Blatty. Don't laugh at The Exorcist 3.
You just did horror films last week all the way through, and now you got to start with another horror film.
Hey, guess what? I still love horror movies. It didn't change from this week to last
week.
That's
weird. I thought after a week you would decide to like start
loving comedies.
I know,
it might wane a little bit. Like, you know what? I'm going to go with An Affair to Remember 2, because it's that. Oh, wait. Well, one, there isn't one.
Okay. I've only seen the first Exorcist. Explain to me why the third one's amazing.
Okay. William Peter Blatty, who wrote the original Exorcist, wrote and directed Exorcist 3.
It's a truer sequel to the series than Exorcist II: The Heretic, which is kind of awful. Exorcist 3, yeah, it's really bad. Exorcist 3 follows the cop from the original movie, except this time he's played by George C. Scott. He plays Kinderman. Mm-hmm. And so,
who was in the original? It was... I just watched it. I should know.
I should know his name because I had to change the script because in the book, he says the name of an actor and it's the actor that,
oh, really?
That played it. Yeah, in The Exorcist, he's... Shit.
Come back to it. Keep going.
Yeah, we'll come back. Okay, so anyway, George C. Scott, and it's weird, on the... On IMDb, can't seem to find... Oh, here. A police lieutenant in Georgetown mourns the anniversary of a priest's death as a serial killer strikes. And it kind of just picks up 20 years later after the end of The Exorcist. Uh-huh. And it's just this terrifying... It's scary in a much different way. It's an investigative thing. You're following the cop around trying to figure out this murder. Brad Dourif's in it.
Brad Dourif. Oh, amazing. Brad Dourif.
And then Jason Miller is in it again. He plays Father Karras in the original.
Okay.
And it's just such a great movie. And it's got some amazing scares that just come out of nowhere.
Do I need to sit through Exorcist 2 to get
no,
this?
No, don't watch Exorcist 2 ever.
Does this even have an exorcism? You just sound like a serial killer movie.
It does have an exorcism.
Is that the one with where they're in the hospital and the...
The Shears.
The Shears?
Yes.
I seen that clip.
Yes.
That's so random.
And even, no, but even like, even seeing that clip and knowing that it's coming, terrifying as fuck. That scene.
Because it's just so still. You're like, wah. Well, yeah, she's just checking the room. And
yeah, it's
Zoom.
There's a build up to it. It's a great scene. It's a great movie. A lot of great scares. Little subtle things hidden throughout it. And I mean, it's kind of amazing.
And it's the writer of the original.
Yeah, William Peter Blatty. He wrote the book, novel. Right, yeah, he wrote the novel, and then he wrote the script and directed it. Okay. Exorcist 3.
How's the direction? I mean, because he's a writer, not a director.
He's really good. He knows what he's doing. Like he was on set a lot with Friedkin.
It was his baby. Yeah, it was his thing.
Okay.
Yeah, because
passion project.
Yeah.
Nice.
He was probably pissed at whatever they did The Exorcist 2.
He was. Because the guy who, John Borman, I think, did Exorcist 2, and he was like, I didn't like anything that happened in the first Exorcist. So that tells you everything about that.
Wow.
But yeah, Exorcist 3 is great.
Brian?
My number 5 is 1989's Back to the Future, Part 2.
Nice.
Gotta go back in time.
I kind of like it more than the first one. What? I don't know if anybody else is with me on this.
At times, I feel the same way, but then I watch the first one again.
I was younger, I liked the second one.
There's a lot of reasons kids would love the second one more. The first one does have all the classic, just so many classic things. That's why it still trumps. But, you know, you watch the second one, and I love how just everything in the kitchen sink is thrown into that movie. You know, they're in 1985, and then they go to the crazy future with all the fun hoverboards, which I'm still waiting for. We got sneakers, but no fucking hoverboards. And then, you know, then they go back to you get basically the first one. You get the first movie redone, which is, I mean, some people think it's bloated, but I just think it's more fun. It's like, they just added fun to the movie. We're just throwing heaps and heaps and heaps of fun.
It adds more to the movie in a good way, not in a Star Wars prequel kind of way.
Yeah.
Right. And again, sucker for time travel stuff. So when you have like him time traveling back to when he time traveled, it's great. And then of course, you know, it hinted at the Wild West sequel that they'd already shot. It's just a fun movie, and
that got me more pumped up than anything. When you finished watching the second one, you're like, wait a minute, there's more. What the F? What the H?
Did we become an episode of Full House? What the H-E double hockey sticks?
Well, that's how you would say it when you were a kid.
But so, nobody else wants to...
I like the first one better, but I like the first half of the second one. It's really great. But then there's a little like middle ground where like you find out that George is dead, and it kind of like it hurts my heart a little bit.
It goes dark, though. That's what's nice.
Yeah, the alternate timeline is great.
It's pretty dark.
In the second one.
The Back to the Future trilogy is kind of like the Star Wars trilogy to me, whereas the movie I liked when I was younger isn't the same as the one I like now. Yeah. Like, when I was a kid, 2 was my favorite.
Yeah.
But now I think 1 is probably my favorite. And then, like, with Star Wars, when I was a kid, Jedi was my favorite. I didn't have Star Wars. I only had Empire and Jedi. Jedi was my favorite. But now that I'm older, Empire's my favorite.
Yeah. I like it. That's a good switch as an adult. And I like Part 1 better. So, what is it? What is it now?
That's 4 to you.
Yeah.
4 to me. 4, I'm sure I didn't have it in this movie that I'm going to mention. It's a 1994 movie. I think I didn't mention it 2 weeks ago in the spy one, but hopefully I didn't. You guys can correct me. I checked, and it wasn't on my list, so it's Clear and Present Danger.
Nice.
I think we talked about why nobody actually put any of those films on the list.
But it's on my best sequels list. I like it better than... I think we briefly discussed it.
Patriot Games?
Yeah, yeah, I like it better than Patriot Games.
They're all better than October.
What?
Well,
I love Hunt for Red October.
No, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying Patriot Games improved and Clear and Present Danger perfected.
You're forgetting a sequel. Some of All Fears.
I didn't see that.
Well, shame on you, dude.
No more Ford.
But anyway, it's John Milas' script. It's three writers, but it's like Donald Stewart, Steve Zalian, and John Milas. They all kind of rewrote each other.
Wait, John Milius?
Milius,
yeah.
Who? Conan the Barbarian, John Milius.
Yes.
Red Dawn, John Milius.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. I say Milas. I don't know why.
Hey, I have a problem with names too, but just, you know, be aware that you don't know how to say it when you say it.
What?
I don't know what I'm, you know, preface it by saying, I might
I just,
mess up
I've
this
always
name.
Called him John Milas, like I've always said Cannes Film Festival. Like I've always said certain things. Scorsese. I say Scorsese.
English is kind of not your second language.
No, it's not my second language. So, deal with it, dude.
No, it's the rocket launcher shootout.
Yes,
is amazing.
It's got Willem Dafoe as John Clark. Yeah. Harrison Ford as Jack Ryan.
Who's the bad guy? He was in Mission Impossible. He completely disappeared. He was amazing.
We talked about him.
Yeah, we did talk about him.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, we forgot his name. I feel so bad. His name.
He popped up for as the dick in like those films. He was a total asshole.
I feel bad that I keep forgetting his name.
Because we were saying if you wanted to go get a haircut, you'd go...
Henry Zerny.
Yes.
Henry Zerny. He's got great hair.
And it's also got Joaquin de Almeida. He's playing the
sniper?
Yeah, no, not the sniper.
He's the colonel.
The colonel.
The guy who like takes over the drugs.
Yeah, no, but I like the sniper dude.
The sniper dude's... It's funny, coincidentally, he plays sniper. His character is a sniper in *Clear and Present Danger*. He's a really good sniper. He's under John Clark, and then in *Training Day*, he plays a character named Sniper. So
wait, Raymond Cruz?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me see.
But anyway, he's great. The whole movie's great. I love this movie. It's got more action, but still that spy desk, thriller version of it where everything's done through computers and. Harrison Ford's trying not to get caught.
In 1994 computers.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
How accurate could those smart bombs really be?
I just watched Mission Impossible 1, and the computer they're using is like a first-generation MacBook.
No, my favorite is Hackers, when there's the new computer, and they're like, oh my god, 28.8. And they're just drooling over it, and you're like, what? Oh.
And also, too, in Mission Impossible, Ving Rhames is like listing off all of his requirements for the computer, and I'm like, my computer has way more processing power than
things. Like, I could break in the IMF.
Yeah. If I could time travel back to 1991,
I could break into IMF.
And Brian would totally watch the movie about that.
Yeah, I would.
But anyway, that's my number four. Kevin,
that's a good one.
Okay, my number four.
Wait, is that your favorite of those? Sorry,
it is. It is my favorite of the.
I would agree with you on that.
Jack
one.
Ryan.
Okay.
So my number four is a childhood favorite of mine, and it's Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior.
Nice. Honorable mention.
Honorable mention as well.
Yeah.
I watched this all the time as a kid. This and, I hate to say it, but Thunderdome. I can't
remember Thunderdome. I need to rewatch that.
Two men enter, one man leave.
That's all you have to remember.
Pretty simple, Ryan.
Basic math.
Anyways, the premise of The Road Warrior is... In the post-apocalyptic Australian wasteland, a cynical drifter agrees to help a small, gasoline-rich community escape a band of bandits.
Badass shit happens.
Badass shit does happen. Mel Gibson is awesome as Max. He's just hard edge. He doesn't want to help out anybody. He's just there to help himself because of previous things that have happened in his past. You have Bruce Spence as the gyro captain, who just adds a little comedic element and kind of like a sidekicky aspect to Max. You have the great Humongous, who's just a cool, scary bad guy, and you never get to see his face. You just hear his voice on the megaphone. But then you have the kid who just isn't scared of anything and is willing to kill a bad guy with a boomerang.
I love that the name of that character is just
Feral Kid. Yeah.
And that's awesome. You guys talk about Leone a lot, and I feel like that's the best non-Leone directed Leone movie. It's as you watch the beginning, it's got the, I think it's 2:35. It's very quiet for 10 minutes.
Yes.
It's all about the widescreen. And again, very super influential. You know, I mean, just everybody's tried to mimic that, the post-apocalypse Mad Max 2 look.
It created a whole subgenre of that dystopian desert.
Same director as the first one?
Yeah, it's George Miller.
It's George Miller. He directed all three.
Wait, so did you, I'm sorry, did and you Babe already say that you...
And Happy Feet.
Do you like this one better than the original?
I do.
Okay,
me
too.
I like this a lot more.
I grew up thinking, I was with Mad Max more, but like upon rewatching this one recently, it's just, it has those scenes that take it to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, all the car chase scenes in this are great. It's
just, the real stunts.
It's that post-apocalyptic where we're all the way gone. Because like in the first one, it's like there's still kind of civilization.
Yes.
Like he's a cop and they do things and they go on.
It was
picnics.
Always confusing to me. Like, wait, what?
When it's like the end of the world happened in between part one and part two.
But we still have money to keep a police force going.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
I think it's the end of the world happened and they're trying to stay civilized and then it just completely disappears. And
this one's almost like the other one didn't really happen because it sets it up with that prologue with the black and white footage.
It's like Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, it's like Evil Dead 2.
It does hold, it stands alone. That's why they renamed it The Road Warrior.
Yeah.
But it's terrific, and it was definitely a movie that I used to watch all the time as a kid, and I still do watch it all the time.
I think I borrowed it from you.
Probably.
Fucking moocher.
Got to do what I can.
All right, so number four?
Yeah.
All right, Brian, I got to tell you, this is a horror movie. Are you okay with
that?
What? I know. No, but it's okay, because it's a Christmas movie, too. Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. It's so amazingly awesome.
Never
I
seen
love this movie.
Either of them.
You don't have to see Silent Night, Deadly Night, because Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 is 70% Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Really?
They didn't Evil Dead 2.
They didn't. So it's it's not. It's even better than that, because they wouldn't give them money to shoot a whole other movie. So, like, just use footage from the first movie. They wanted to make this movie entirely recut from the first movie.
So it's like Friday the 13th Part 2, basically?
No.
More so?
You're just reaching now. Yeah, more. I'm literally 80% of this movie is the kid.
It was 70, now it's 80?
Yeah, it went up because you killed time.
It's eventually going to be 85.
That's what I do, I kill time.
Let me read the plot summary first. Ricky, the brother of the killer in the first film.
Spoiler alert.
That's...
I'm just kidding.
I don't know what to tell you. Ricky, the brother of the killer in the first film, talks to a psychiatrist about how he became a brutal killer after his brother died, leading back to Mother Superior.
So it's just a movie of the guy talking to his therapist?
The first hour of the movie is him talking to the therapist and then flashbacks of the kills from the first movie. So it's like the greatest hits of Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Nice.
Like you see how they were attacked by a guy dressed as Santa Claus who raped and killed their mom and dad. He didn't rape the dad, just the mom.
I don't remember that part.
What kind of crazy Santa is it?
I have seen the first one.
You have seen the first
one? Yeah, I haven't seen the sequel, so now I
Okay.
have to.
Well, again, you've seen most of the sequel.
Okay, then.
Because there's all everything from the first one. Like
apparently
the,
85%
he kills, 85% because Brian talked again. Yeah. Linnea Quigley's kills in it. Like all the awesome kills, like the sledding kill.
Yeah.
I'm spoiling all of these kills, but they're all over the internet.
And people die in this movie?
They do.
Silent
bloody
night, deadly night.
It's bloody. But then on top, so in addition to having all the great kills from the first movie, it's got this crazy garbage day shootout where he just goes on a killing spree. He just shoots everyone on the street. Like he electrocutes a guy with his car, he shoots random people in the middle of the street, and it just all builds up to killing people during garbage day and then getting back to Mother Superior to get revenge on her for driving his brother insane in the first movie.
So the therapy doesn't work.
No. It doesn't.
And even if
I just told you the whole movie, go watch it because it's so amazingly disturbing and funny.
Anybody behind it directing?
There's 1987. I don't think it was anybody that you've necessarily. Lee Harry.
Harry Lee?
No, Lee Harry. He did Thunder Run and Street Soldiers and Warp Speed. That's about it. Oh, and he just worked on those. He only directed Street Soldiers.
Hmm.
I love this movie. It's great.
Now we got to see it.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
So
I definitely
amazing.
Want to watch it now.
Yeah. On Christmas Day.
Yeah, maybe. It's a good Christmas movie.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't think I'm sold. I'm not really sold on that.
Well, you're not sold on that. <ways. laughs>
That's fine with us.
You're not sold on DSL still. So.
Or text messaging.
Oh, haha. Let's make fun of the guy with no cell phone.
You have a cell phone, you just don't have texting, which is weird because we're gonna be in 2012, and you're missing. It's like people in like Africa that you know are illiterate have texting, dude. And you don't.
Brian is like Ving Rhames in Mission Impossible right now. He's so far behind.
He needs a 28.8 modem.
Oh, 28.8.
28.8 modem.
So that's 4 to you, Brian.
4 to you.
4 to me.
I texted you.
I didn't get that text. I expect this to pop up. As I said earlier, I am a Batman guy and The Dark Knight from 2008.
Honorable mention.
It goes without saying. Yeah. We knew you were going to pick that.
Exactly.
You like very how we play this
very,
game?
Very predictable, dude.
You are.
I can't not put this
we
on
like
the sequel
list. We like
three jokers
to your Harvey Dent.
What hasn't been said already about this movie? Heath Ledger, phenomenal as Joker.
He's in that movie.
Score, cinematography.
I thought it was Pauly Shore.
Yes, the score is phenomenal.
You guys are like, just because you didn't put it on your list, you're going to make fun of me putting it on
my
list.
We're not making fun of you.
You love the movie.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything to say about it. It's that good.
By the way, I think we haven't talked about Dark Knight Rises yet, so a little bit.
That's true. We have to talk about The Dark Knight at some point in every single podcast.
That's right.
We'll wait till the end. I'm going to put in my notes, things to do, talk about Dark Knight Rises. So tell us about Dark Knight, something we haven't heard.
Nobody's heard of this film. Nobody knows what it's about. It's a very small movie. No, it's fantastic. You guys love it, obviously.
Yes, yeah. And the scenes shot in IMAX are just beautiful. Wally Pfister is such an amazing cinematographer, and he needs to get noticed more.
I think he did a great job with Moneyball this year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just that opening scene when he's listening to the radio. And
It doesn't get enough notice because it's more of a straightforward studio film, but it's.
But I'm glad he did win the Oscar last year for Inception, sorry.
Inception.
Yeah.
Yeah. He won the Oscar. Right. You look at me weird.
That's just how I look.
It's a great sequel. It does what sequels are supposed to do.
Yeah. It has great set pieces, and I love the fact that Christopher Nolan likes to use practical effects over CGI effects all the time, and they look great on screen when they happen.
I also like the fact that he doesn't have a second unit director. He just does every single effing shot.
Liked the fact that Michael Bay has a second unit director.
No, I didn't. I mean, I'd like to be Michael Bay's. I'm sure that's really good work.
Michael Bay needs a second unit director.
Okay.
I think he doesn't either, but who cares?
Let's just talk more about Christopher Nolan, not Michael Bay.
Anyway, let's go to number 3, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow, that went by fast.
Breezing through.
Number 3 is a movie that doesn't get a lot of love. Not a lot of lists, but it's one of my favorite. It's when Rocky beat the Soviet Union.
Really? 4?
4, dude.
Hey, I enjoy Rocky 4.
I like Rocky. Rocky 4 is my number 3. Weirdly. It should have been my number 4, I guess.
Best montage ever.
Best montages.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Not this more movie, I feel, has a lot in common with Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, where in like most of the movie is the previous movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just a lot of... Hey, remember when I beat Mr. T? Remember when Mick died?
Yeah. It's like... How long is that? It's like I feel like it's a half an hour long montage of him driving and thinking about the other 3 movies.
Wait, the driving montage, which is the best, and it's got a song by Robert Tepper. Yes, I know the guy who wrote the song.
I don't doubt it.
It's called "No Easy Way Out," and it's literally like a 4-minute song, and it's the 4-minute song is a montage. It's a music video onto its own.
Right.
I downloaded it just to watch it as a music video.
So how many times do they have to loop this 4-minute song for that? Montage.
It feels like it's probably a 2-minute song, but it feels like forever. And they literally recap all the movies.
Yeah,
you could just if you haven't seen, you know, you got to see 1 at least. See 1, skip 2 through 2 and 3, go to 4. But first, before you start the movie, watch the montage.
Yeah,
and you'll catch up. You'll see Mr. T, Apollo Creed, second fight, everything.
Is that the best
Hulk Hogan
Cold War 80s film? The West defeats the.
I'm a fan of Red Dawn.
I'm a fan of Red Dawn
but
too. That,
but that's not based in reality.
That was a group.
I'm talking
kids.
Like Police Academy. What's the Spies Like Us? I'm talking that.
This is my favorite of those. Okay. You know, we beat the
that
we
subgenre.
Beat the USSR. You know, but yeah, I love.
I love James Brown.
Yeah, James Brown is in it. Come on.
Yes.
And Bridget Nielsen when she wasn't as ugly as she is today.
Bridget Nielsen before she looked more like Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. which is weird. How did that happen?
Did she like Michael Jackson herself to be Dolph Lundgren?
I think so. I think she bleached.
After that movie, she said, you know, I want to look more like Dolph.
Dolph is looking kind of awesome.
She held off a little bit, though, because she doesn't look quite like him in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
That's true.
And just to go back to, there's literally like 10 montages in this movie.
It's all montage.
And just in the training session when he's in Russia.
When he's training in Russia.
Yeah. There's two training Soviet montages.
There's two training.
Two different training
montages. That's right. There's the one when he's jogging and they're chasing
one
him.
You'd have to train twice to beat Dolph, okay?
Oh, it's true.
Ivan.
But anyway, there's a lot of montages.
I will kill you.
Just YouTube them.
You will lose.
And I like Hugo Boss is stamped over everything. it's like the beginning of like hardcore like product
placement. Did Stallone direct this one?
Stallone did direct this. Yeah. Yes. And that's why it's awesome.
I feel like he's better. Is this the first one that doesn't start with the scrolling title? Because at a certain point they stopped doing, because they all started with the music that da 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 da, and then like the scrolling Rocky. But I feel like
I think this one was the first one that didn't. I
don't remember a scrolling title on this one.
Because this one just went into the end of the. No, I'm thinking of part five. I don't know, dude.
Stallone, I'm not sure. Writer than a director.
Yes. Are you asking or are you telling?
I'm just throwing that out there.
I think he's a better.
Yeah,
writer.
I would agree with that.
I'm actually looking forward to Expendables 2 because he's not directing. Because he's just writing. So
the first one was terrible.
I love the first
one. I love the first one. I actually just watched the making of Expendables.
Did you watch the Netflix documentary? Yeah. It's like an hour and a half documentary.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff.
And he like breaks his... He is like pushing his like physical and mental abilities.
Telling him if he keeps making the movie, he could become paralyzed at a certain point. But he just keeps making the film and not getting the surgery that he needs to get done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brian's give me a crazy sign. Is it too loud for you? Is that what it is?
It's hurting my ears. Okay.
I mean, this is how we know if we're at our level or not, dude. Just deal with it, dude. Like a man, dude. We're at 41 minutes, dude. Brian's already complaining. It's too loud. So what were we talking about before Brian?
we were talking about the Expendables.
Expendables. No, let's not talk about Expendables anymore.
Expendables is great. What are you talking about?
No, it's terrible. Expendables.
It's terrible. Oh.
Van Damme, come on. Van Damme is the second one. And Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris.
That's a movie you haven't seen yet. I'm talking about the first one that was shitty.
The first one was good.
I love the first one.
Yes.
Just because you don't appreciate the cinema of you don't celebrate Stallone's catalog.
Didn't I not just talk last time about how I saw every Sylvester Stallone movie in the 90s?
Yeah, and you lost faith.
Yeah, you lost faith. We still believe.
I saw Driven in the theaters.
Driven was a breaking point there.
I think I've seen every single Stallone movie, even Rhinestone.
I've seen Rhinestone.
Yeah, I've seen Rhinestone. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I haven't seen Rhinestone.
Kevin, what are we on? Three?
Yep, three. For my number three comes from 1989, and it's Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Honorable mention.
Honorable mention. And we got that sweet siren in the background.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
That's LA.
They love LA.
We love it. This is definitely my favorite of the sequels. You know what? I'm not going to lie. It's my favorite Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it's my favorite Indiana Jones as well.
I'm going to concur. Raiders is great. But again, I think there's one of those because I love it more as a kid. I mean, I just love when you get to the end of it. I love games in a movie. And when you get like, he has to solve puzzles at the end, that just does it for me.
It's kind of like what Adam was saying about Back to the Future, where as a kid, definitely Raiders. Now, Last Crusade.
Actually,
and you have Sean Connery.
Not to steal from you, as you were a kid, but when I was a kid, again, like with Star Wars, I only had Temple of Doom. I grew up with nothing but Temple of Doom, so that was my favorite by default. I didn't have anything else. And then it was Raiders, but definitely like as I got older, Crusade, because it's more. There's more going on.
There's so much more going on. I mean, you're finding so much out about Indy and who he is in this film, and then you're finding
awesome prologue, River Phoenix.
Yes,
amazing.
I love River Phoenix, and he's so good.
Perfect casting.
And I mean, just the relationship with his father, and Sean Connery is so good as his dad.
Junior.
The dog was named Indiana.
And this one actually has Hitler in it.
Yes.
Well, Brian, will you stop fucking doing impressions, dude?
I kind of enjoy them.
They are funny, but maybe put them together as a, like a compilation CD. It's
all Brian, can you do your Clarice Starling?
Oh yes, please.
I don't have.
What?
That's too bad.
But I definitely like this the best. I like that prologue, like Brian was saying. It's just such a great. They should release that before.
Yeah, I mean,
before Mission Impossible 1.
You find out why he doesn't like snakes. You see him using. I mean, and River Phoenix just sells it all.
The
whip,
the hat. You find out all the makings of.
Yeah.
You know.
This belongs in a museum.
Yes.
But yeah, so I love this movie. And
it's got Nazis.
And it's got Nazis. Again, I mean,
Temple of Doom when
Indy fighting Nazis. Good stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, that's I just love this movie.
Right, so good choice. What number are we on? Three?
Three.
Okay.
No crossover so far.
I think this might be... Well,
you guys are purposely like avoiding it. That's why.
I think there's going to be one
I think it's about to happen. Maybe? I don't know. Aliens.
Not on my list.
Okay, good.
Goes without saying.
I didn't put this on here because it was in my top five. And so I was just like, you know what? It's obviously known that I would love this as a sequel, but...
I did not participate in the top five before. Aliens is my number one, you bastard.
You're welcome. That's what you get for complaining about crossovers.
My daughter's name is Ripley, and it's because of Aliens, not Alien. Not that I don't like Alien. Aliens is amazing. It does what sequels are supposed to do, just like every other one on this list.
Even though it is on my list for great sequels, I still love Alien better.
I'm not saying.
I'm just saying it's about a hair better.
About a hair.
Alien or Aliens?
Aliens.
Nope.
So tell not us. About
so I'm not going to be upset.
Tell us about aliens.
Yeah, let's talk about aliens.
All right, so aliens.
You've already talked about aliens then before.
Oh, yes,
we have talked about aliens before. We can talk about it more because we didn't give a plot summary. Someone might not know.
That's true. People
what aliens are about.
Lost.
This is not about immigration.
Yeah,
aliens.
This is about
plural.
It's not day without an alien.
Not day without an alien. This is about aliens from outer space.
Yeah.
The planet from Alien has been colonized, but contact is lost. This time, the rescue team has impressive firepower, but will it be enough?
This time it's war.
This time it is war. This time they're going
to send
Michael
Bay. By the
Bay.
Time this is out, the Prometheus trailer would have premiered.
Prometheus.
Yes.
Which should...
We have to whisper.
Naked push-ups.
Prometheus.
Prometheus.
I want to see Prometheus.
I saw the naked push-ups. At Comic-Con. I've seen him.
The run?
Yeah. I don't know if it's actually going to make the cut.
Michael Fassbender doing naked push-ups.
No. I saw that in Shame.
The fast boner.
Fast boner.
Fastest member.
No, I did see Charlize Theron doing topless push-ups.
Just topless?
At Comic-Con.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not in person.
You're not okay with that?
And I'm
not
I'm,
in person.
I'm totally okay with it. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be released in the theatrical version just because I know they shot both of them.
Okay.
So if it's PG, they're not definitely not going to be in it. And
PG?
PG-13, sorry.
Okay.
Now, do you prefer director's cut or theatrical Aliens?
Either way. Whatever. Whatever's on.
Yeah.
I like Aliens.
I go director's all the way.
I just... It colors different scenes differently. Like, especially when you get to the colony ahead of time and then you see the destruction, it's like a nice little before and after. But if you don't, you know, you don't meet Newt ahead of time, then it's like, holy shit, what happened here? You don't know how bad it is. You just know it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But... I kind of go directors just because it's got the awesome, what is it, the automatic Gatling?
The sentry guns.
The sentry guns.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where it's like, you know, usually you understand why something got cut. Like, okay, for time, for pacing. There's no reason to have cut that out of the movie.
It does
that amazing.
Really sell how many aliens there are and how fucked
you're like,
they really are.
We had sentry guns, and they're still coming. It's bad. And that the last, 40 minutes of the movie is just nonstop.
It's just a great movie. I mean, James Cameron taking over this franchise or whatever you want to call it that he took over, taking this story and doing his own thing with it and just making it this action movie. I think it's very much more an action movie than a horror movie. That's why I like Alien better, because Alien's more horror and Aliens is more action.
It's different, but...
It's just so badass. And then the reason why I can watch either the director's cut or the theatrical is because once you've seen both, like, you already know, it's not a surprise. I know, regardless of which version happened or which version you watch, I know what happened already. So it's not, like, if you're going into it, you'd say the director's cut. If you've never seen it before, you'd say watch the director's cut.
I think James Cameron's an underrated writer because...
He used to be.
Well, no, because he, listen, even with Avatar, even with Avatar, he works in archetypes. It's very basic. It's not like he's reinventing the wheel, but he does it so well. He plots it out pretty perfectly.
Yeah, I can't go with you on this Avatar business.
Okay, even with Aliens, though, like I said, he paces that thing so perfectly, and it's not just editing. It's if you read the script for Aliens, it's just, you know, it nails each moment, each time it's supposed to ramp up, And I don't know. It's an amazing movie. And it's definitely a top five all-timer.
You have to think about, while he's writing the script, he's also writing the script for Rambo 2 and a version of Predator, I believe, at the time.
Yeah, Predator 2.
Predator 2?
Yeah.
So, and he's writing Aliens. So he's writing three scripts. One that Aliens, which is just awesome, and then Rambo 2, which I enjoy.
It's fun.
That's definitely my honorable mention, Rambo 2. But no, actually, it was funny because I don't know if you guys have seen the special features on the Blu-ray.
Yes.
Blu-ray. But they talk about how he was writing this while he was doing pre-production for Terminator.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's where you get.
And he said, well, I can't, I got to stop working on this because my financing came in for Terminator, so I got to go do that. So they said, well, we'll wait a couple weeks and then we'll decide whether we get another writer or not. And I guess they started watching what he was cutting of Terminator, and they said, oh, we'll wait for you. And not only will we wait, but we want you to direct.
Yeah, but he had tons of problems on set because he was the young kid in on the England, was it Pinewood?
Pinewood Studios.
Going back to when you had Fincher on your director's list, nobody went to bat for Alien 3. I go to bat for Alien 3.
I think I said that I liked Alien 3.
No. You guys were like, I kind of like Alien 3.
I think we all agreed that it's a great movie, it's just not a good sequel.
Yeah.
We said that. You just suck at listening.
Well, fuck you.
Yeah. You said you're not a podcast fan, so shut the fuck up, Brian.
Game over, man.
Give us your
game
number.
What the fuck are we supposed to do now?
Yeah, Brian. Bring it back around.
I got it. The movie's so quotable. It Vasquez. Is.
Do your number
three. They mostly come out at night. Mostly.
Mostly. It's awesome.
Yeah, wait, what are we on? Three?
Yeah, we're on three.
Three.
Are we on three?
No, that was Brian's three. So
no, that was my number one. Three. It was his number one.
My number one.
So I feel better about myself.
So Brian's
now.
Three, yeah.
1978, going with the horror film, Dawn of the Dead.
God damn it, you got to get me back.
Was that your number two?
That was my number two.
Nice. I mean, it's not necessarily a straight sequel. There's not characters that tie in or anything, but it's definitely...
It works for me.
It's definitely the same universe. And it takes everything from the first one, like Aliens, and ramps it up, makes it an action film. It expands the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I love everything about that movie. The makeup, the head exploding, the helicopter zombie.
Oh, it's so good.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, Tom Savini in there.
Yeah, Tom Savini.
Just cutting shit up with his motorcycle gang. I feel like that's actually his motorcycle gang. He just brought them. Yeah. That wasn't in the script. He's like, hey, these guys are coming with me when I do the makeup.
Yeah. It's one of those films that I feel like I've always seen it. Like whenever I finally was old enough to realize what the movie was and what it was called, it felt like something that had always just been in my knowledge.
This is the movie that made me terrified of zombies. Cause this is the one I saw before even Night of the Living Dead. The 1990 remake, and which I saw before the 1968 original version, I saw Dawn of the Dead all the time on TV, and it terrified me. Just these omnipresent walking dead, inescapable in the mall. Yeah. I think that was the big thing too in the mall, because the mall played a big part of my childhood, and seeing zombies taking over the mall was
terrifying. It's pretty relentless. It's actually a kind of slow film, but it still feels that, like you're saying, the omnipresence, it still feels relentless for even when it's taking its time at the mall and letting them sort of feel safe.
It's a lot of that stillness that Ricardo likes.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's still, you still feel that danger.
Because as slow as it is, like, it's slow because you know that there's nowhere you can go and they're everywhere. There's nothing, like, you're just killing time until you're dead.
Yeah. Like that complaint that, like, in the remake, they'd have survived if they just were smarter.
Mm-hmm.
This one's like, you get that sense of it's not a pleasant survival.
Yeah, there is no, it's
like, even if they did stay here, it's not where you want to stay,
right?
Which speaks to the you know, the theme of the commercialism and everything,
plus the music by the goblins throughout the film is very eerie, very creepy.
So in the European version then,
in the European version, the European cut with the music by the goblins,
and the makeup, not the splatter makeup, but just like that blue tint zombies, it's not even, you know, most people would be like, oh, that's cheap, but it makes it distinctive. It's cool.
It makes it seem like it's not as scary, but it's scarier because it's just like, they're still, they're not these gory ghouls. They're just people still. They've lost the color and it's that much scarier. And you see people like that walking on the street.
Yeah. I really like the extra corn syrupy blood. It has a stickiness to it. It's fantastic. You see that movie.
Ken Foree.
What version is your favorite one? Because I know the special edition had like five different versions of.
I haven't got around to watching any of the other ones, so I just go with the original.
Like with Kevin said, the European version, the Goblin music kind of takes it up to another level.
It does take it up to another level.
I guess I have some watching to do.
You do. Definitely, yeah, definitely check it out. It's.
I mean, I have it. I just didn't. I haven't watched it yet.
Well, that just shows you don't watch your DVD.
But I do like both versions.
Jerk.
Yeah, again, like Aliens, any version.
Yeah.
Any version is great.
Yeah. Go see that movie if you haven't seen it. Don't first see the original, then see the remake, which is good onto its own, which you talked about last week.
We prefer the original, though. Right?
We prefer the original.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. What are we now? Two?
Two.
Two. Okay. My number two is 1986's. We kind of mentioned it last episode, but it's The Color of Money.
Nice.
Not honorable mention, but I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because I don't like The Hustler.
See, I love The Hustler.
Yeah, I love The Hustler.
I love The Hustler.
I love Paul Newman in The Hustler. Jackie and Gleason, but the film itself.
Well, that's everything. So you like The Hustler?
No, I like the performancing. The performancing.
I like that.
Paul Newman performance.
I like performancing.
Performancing. Well, anyway, I like the original. I mean, the original, the first one, which is The Hustler, and I really love this one. I love Tom Cruise. It's got the best of everything.
I can't play pool without doing that stuff.
It's got.
That's because you're an asshole.
Paul Newman. It's got Paul Newman. It's got Tom Cruise, and it's got Martin Scorsese directing. What else do you need?
You gonna mention actress? You just sexist
she's not,
like
she's
that?
Not important. Elizabeth. We know who she is, dude.
But it's got great.
It's
little,
all about. It's all about Tom Cruise.
Great little, not cameos, but just you know, like Turturro and
yes,
Forest Whitaker.
Yes, and I like Turturro's little like cameos in this, and then he had one in Rounders as well. Where he played, he played kind of like a similar character, but I love this movie. Who wrote this movie? Richard Price, don't know the guy, but anyway, it's a fun movie. It's cool to, I really liked Fast Eddie in The Hustler, and it was good to like after. Well, I saw this when I was younger and had.
Oh, it was always on. It was always on.
So it was like, wait a minute, that's a sequel. Oh my God, it is a sequel. So it was fun to discover that as a kid.
Yeah, with like the 40 year later sequel.
Yeah. It's still cool. It's still cool.
Are you going to go with the Last Picture Show sequel next? Texas Phil?
No. Jerk.
I'm okay with Texas Phil.
No, I'm just, Color Money is fun. I like how he can, again, Scorsese having fun making a pool table as dynamic as it can be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your number two? Like two Jakes? Go ahead, Kevin.
My number two comes from 1974, and it's The Godfather Part Two.
Yes.
Honorable
mention. Goes without saying. Come on.
It does go without saying.
Well, no, Brian prefers Part Three.
No. It's honorable mention, and it's not because you guys were going to have it. I know some people like the sequel more. I just think the original has so many more classic things.
I agree with that. I do think that number two is pretty much right there with it almost.
Yeah.
De Niro in this is just...
The De Niro stuff is better than anything in any of them.
Awesome, and he's just great as a young Vito. And just seeing how Vito comes to power and just... De Niro just acts out that character and just does a great job. Seeing where Pacino, where Michael is at in this stage of the story, and Pacino delivering just another great performance as he does in The Godfather. And I mean, the scene where I'm going to tell you a spoiler right now, where Fredo gets killed, is just, it's great because, Fredo is, you love Fredo. And even though he's an idiot and he does stupid things, when Michael has to get rid of him, it's a tough scene to watch. But yeah, I love this movie, but I do love The Godfather more. It is my favorite film.
Okay.
But,
so got first one better. Okay.
Yes.
Everybody agree with that? Or is some people like the second one more?
No, I agree. The first one. I like the first one just slightly better.
I like the first one because it's got James Caan in it.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, it's got the sequel has a little bit of James Caan. A little bit.
I just feel like if you start weighing classic moments and classic, just all of that, the first one outweighs the sequel.
I mean, you got the awesome scene with the kiss of death, and he's like, I know it was you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it has its own memorable scenes.
When De Niro wraps up the gun and it catches fire, that's tremendous.
That's awesome.
Well, such great, and even like in the smaller parts, you have a lot of great actors doing smaller parts.
I think
Bruno Kirby's in this, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yes. Bruno Kirby is what's the name?
One of my honorable mentions.
Love really? Bruno Kirby.
No, he's not.
I think like De Niro's so good in that. Just even when he just, it's just a visual scene where he's like comforting the baby, you know, and it's just, that's it. He's not really saying anything. It's just great acting.
Yeah.
It's also one of the few performances in another language to win an Oscar.
Yeah. And it's one of those movies where it's a period piece, clearly, you know, mm-hmm. but it doesn't feel that way.
It doesn't.
It feels like they went back and shot those scenes back then. It doesn't have that period piece feel to it. Anyway.
My
Dawn of the Dead was
My number two was Dawn of the Dead.
So down to Brian for your number two.
My number one was James Cameron's Aliens. My number two is James Cameron's Terminator 2 Judgment Day, 1991.
That's my number one.
I have a thing for James Cameron.
That's my number one.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I thought everybody was going to have it. Let's not put it on.
Well, it's just this.
I had. Yeah, I mean, if I didn't have Aliens on here, I had to put my other favorite.
The guy just knows how to make sequels.
I'm really confused. So Terminator 2 is your number. Is Ricardo's number one? Yes. Kevin's number one. Yeah. And Brian's number two. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to admit to this. I like Terminator 2 better than Aliens.
It's close.
Okay. You said that.
I said it. I'm sorry.
It's close.
That's fine.
I don't think James Cameron's made a bad movie.
I think if Eddie
What? Fur-
if Edward
wait, have you seen Piranha 2?
Yeah, Piranha 2 is fun. I even go all the way back to Piranha 2.
Okay.
I don't think he's made a bad movie.
He
does sequels better than anybody, so that's why I can't wait for Avatar 2.
I don't think Avatar
And I wish he did True Lies 2.
I don't think Avatar is a good movie. I think it's an experience that's awesome for the 3D, but I don't think it's a good movie.
I don't ever want to experience that again.
I saw it on TV. It held up.
I'll say this for Terminator 2. The only thing that's going bad is Edward Furlong. He could be a little...
Yeah, but that's the kind of... It's become a part of it, so that you like it anyways.
Yeah. But if you could time travel back in time and cast another kid, I'm sure it would have been a lot better.
Johnny Galecki.
Yeah. He would have been awful, man.
Just like Aliens, that final 40 minutes is just... And he knows how to do action. It's not Michael Bay where it's just noise. It's ramping it up. It's knowing when to make the stakes higher. When to change the scenery. It's not just we're all battling on the same field for 40 minutes. It's no. We go from the hospital to the helicopter to that chase to the whatever plant at the end. It's dynamic. It's a brilliant movie.
A little trivia on that. Most of this movie, most of it, I want to say 90% of it is the number I read. It's all Steadicam. Every single shot. Most
nice.
Mostly
well, again, Steadicam. One of the few action films to cross over with other awards and Oscars. It was nominated for editing. It was nominated for cinematography, just like The Matrix. It's one of those where it's like they recognize that the craft in that thing is not just special effects. It's everything else is working overtime.
And not only do you have sci-fi, but I mean the whole robots, but you have time travel.
Which Brian loves.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like the odd man out because I really love Terminator, but again, it's the same thing as
Star Wars. One more?
Star Wars and Back to the Future. I like Terminator better
than
Terminator
2. It's more of a horror film, that's why, too. The first one's more scary.
I just think there's a lot more going on in the first one than there's in the second one.
What?
I don't know what to tell you.
All I have to say is, while I was doing this list, all that was going through my head was Miles Dyson's death scene. His breath was just going...
This is getting creepy, though.
One
of us do it, not both at the same time. Okay, no. You go.
That's it.
It's enough.
I don't know. We've already how much longer? Scared.
People I can hold this.
Stop listening.
And you know who the SWAT guy is, right? In that scene, the SWAT guy.
No, I don't off the top of my head.
Is it Dean Norris, Breaking Bad? No.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's right.
We can get out of here. That's totally him. Just like from you see him in Total Recall as the.
The guy with
the weird eye alien.
Yep.
It's fun to watch those and be like, it's just SWAT guy. He's got a mask on. You can't even tell it's him, but that scene's awesome.
Yeah. Again, it might also come back to this newfound thing where child protagonists. Maybe it's just Edward Furlong getting on my nerves, but I prefer the first one.
Yeah, but that's where I learned the word dipshit, and I really like that. He taught me dipshit. That was a good word for about 2 years.
It's still a good word because you're still a dipshit. Yeah.
One thing I have to say about James Cameron, at least he used to, he writes really good, strong female characters. I mean, in this movie, Linda Hamilton, when she gets introduced and she's doing pull-ups on her bed, she's so ripped and so awesome in this movie.
But it's not just, I think sometimes that gets simplified to, a great female protagonist kicks ass. I think having those scenes with her in the hospital,
yes,
melting down about those things, that's what makes that performance. I mean, she has the physical thing down, but I think the people that try to mimic what Cameron's done with Sigourney Weaver nominated for Best Actress for Aliens, nobody even realizes that, is adding that emotion, adding that depth to it. It's not just the fact that
we realize that.
Yeah, I mean,
you do. I'm talking to assholes. Any assholes listening, know that.
Listen to this asshole.
From one asshole to the other.
I just want all the listeners to know that Brian will not be back. Again.
And that's a mail-in campaign. Bring him back. Bring him back.
No, none of the assholes will mail in for you.
They might. Wait, so is that it? Terminator 2? And you guys, that took all three of you out?
No, we have Kevin's number one.
That was my number one.
Yes.
So I'm getting lost then.
Yeah.
It was your number two.
Was Godfather. Yeah. We just jumped to that. And then mine was... Yeah,
Terminator 2.
So you have your number one.
My number one, which could work for sequel, and it could also work for last week for remakes. Uh-oh. Evil Dead 2.
Ooh.
Nice.
That's a good one.
Honorable mention, along with Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness is mine.
Because I actually prefer Army of Darkness.
Me too.
See, I prefer Evil Dead 2. And when I was a kid, I preferred Army of Darkness.
And I mentioned...
That's like the theme.
I named my daughter Ripley. My newborn is Ash.
I know, that poor kid.
Yeah.
That's tough.
So that just can tell you how much I like that movie.
Yeah, enough to sally your kid with a shitty name.
Yep.
Yeah.
You'd love it.
Mm. No.
No.
As long as he doesn't behave like Ian Holm and Alien, then you're good.
Yeah.
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 But yes, Evil Dead 2.
It's a great movie. And then, I mean, it's Evil Dead all over again.
Now, can I just ask you why Evil Dead 2 over Army of Darkness?
Because I think it's better.
No, I'm just saying, like, what do you...
I'm
not saying you have to like, I mean, they're both awesome.
Again, it comes down to the horror. I feel like Evil Dead 2 is more horror, and Army of Darkness, yes, he's going more for the camp, mm-hmm, and like the Harryhausen, and it's more fantasy.
Three Stooges.
Yeah, it's more like slapsticky, and then Evil Dead 2 still got some scary moments, and then I don't know, I just...
Can I tell you Army of Darkness? Why?
No, we don't. We need.
This is
Adam's talking.
Adam's time right now.
Not you.
No.
Adam has the talking stick, so you have to shut up.
Yeah. Time travel.
Of course.
Time travel.
Well, he time travels at the end of Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work.
It's barely.
There's time travel.
Yep.
There's time travel. Anyway, so that's my number one. I love Evil Dead. It's a great movie. Sam Raimi, I think, his best movie. Better than Army of Darkness. I don't know what to tell you guys. I just like it better.
I like Darkman.
I do like Darkman.
I think going along, like, you like this. Evil Dead was the movie that I liked. Evil Dead 2 was a movie I liked when I was a kid, and then I liked Army of Darkness as I got older.
Yeah.
Army of Darkness, I saw when I was like 7, I think. Or what year was that?
I don't think you were 7 when Army of Darkness came out. I think you were older than that.
Yeah, no, it was like 9. I think I was 9. And then as a kid, I loved all the, like we're talking the slapstick, the stupid shit, like the skeleton crawling, like, I'm going to get you. Yeah. And I'm like laughing, like, this is the best thing ever.
92.
Then, 92, so I was 9. So 5 years later, I caught it again on cable, and I was like, I remember liking this. And then suddenly... you get Bruce Campbell's humor, you get what he's doing with that, and I enjoyed it for all these other reasons. And it, you know, it's one of those great things where, you know, it held up from being a kid to being a little older.
I do love the ending of Army of Darkness, that when he's back at that ending. Because there's like a dozen endings for this movie.
Yeah,
but the theatrical ending.
I will say Evil Dead 2, in its favor, has one of the bloodiest movies. Just with that one scene alone, any film that's like, we were using buckets of blood in Piranha. No, you weren't. You did not beat Evil Dead 2's blood
content. In one scene. All in one go. I love it. It's a great movie.
It's pretty good.
It is.
Brian. Can we... Wait, so, and that was...
Aliens was my number one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We went to it. So, honorable mentions.
Again, repeat, Aliens. Sigourney Weaver was nominated for Best Actress.
We fucking know that, too.
Think of any action film nowadays getting nominated for an acting award. Just imagine that.
Prometheus next year. So, anyway, my honorable mentions, Desperado. Yeah, I love that movie.
That's kind of more of a remake. It's like Evil Dead 2, I guess.
Shut up.
It's a sequel.
It is a sequel.
Desperado's awesome, though. Steve Buscemi's amazing in that.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Nice.
It's a prequel. Wait, that's a prequel.
Prequel.
I guess it is.
Take it off.
Okay. then I'll go with For a Few Dollars
More. Stricken and from then, the record.
Rambo, First Blood Part 2.
Nice. Wait, before we get too far into honorable mentions, does Jenny have a list for this one too?
She does. Okay, let's go back to Jenny's.
Or should I do honorable mentions while you're getting her list?
I got it right here. Okay, ready? Her top sequel movies are number 5, Toy Story 3.
3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Number 4, Bourne Ultimatum.
Okay.
Number 3, Terminator 2.
So that was on everybody's list, but Shakes over here.
And don't go there.
Number 2, The Dark Knight. And number 1, Empire Strikes Back. And then she has honorable mentions, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, Aliens, Godfather 2, and Harry Potter, Prisoner of Azkaban.
Nice.
Solid. Nobody did Star Wars.
No.
Empire is an honorable mention.
Yeah. Go to Kevin for his honorable mention.
I have Toy Story 2 as one of my honorable mentions. Nice. I love that movie, and it holds up against Toy Story.
Did you cry?
I did cry.
When they sing that song?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
I have a Star Trek film, and not Wrath of Khan. I have First Contact.
Oh, okay, never mind. That's fine. First Contact's amazing. First
Contact.
You have
Wrath of the Titans? I was like, what else is he going to say? Oh, First Contact, okay. The Borg, man.
I mean, the Borg, yeah. What can I say? And Ronald D. Moore.
And? Time travel. Shit.
We just had
Adam just fell out of his chair. Yeah. Literally.
Literally. just like flew off.
We're not going to stop for this.
No. I also...
if you notice, most of these films have time travel. I'm just telling you.
Yes, that's great, Brian.
Congratulations.
Here's a film.
I'm back.
This one, here you go, Brian. New Nightmare. Time travel?
No, but New Nightmare is awesome.
Honorable mention.
I'd go with Dream Warriors first, though.
Frank Darabont. I love Dream Warriors, but I just love the way they approach New Nightmare and how scary Freddy really is.
I just saw this as a double feature on at the New Beverly. It was a Nightmare on Elm Street and a New Nightmare.
Nice.
And it played really well. It played really well. It was for Halloween, and it played really well because it was like, forget all the movies. It's just part one, and then... Hey,
I love
all these years
the semi on the freeway going over them. That's awesome. So you're not a fan of the rampant homosexuality in Freddy's Revenge?
I don't mind it, but I don't like Freddy's Revenge. So
no, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Another honorable mention would be Spider-Man 2.
I enjoy Spider-Man 2. I just watched that with my boy,
and it really. Took the because Spider-Man is okay, and then Spider-Man 2.
I don't know why that was funny, but it was.
And Spider-Man 2 just when it came out, it made me rethink the series, and then Spider-Man 3 made me completely rethink the series. Yeah, but
unfortunately,
I love Spider-Man 2 with Doc Ock and just everything about it.
Oh, that subway fight!
Yeah,
awesome.
That's
an emotional scene actually when they like catch him. Come
and
on,
I agree with you. It is. And the little boy hands him his mask and say, and hands him the mask. That's an emotional scene.
So Adam, you're on watch.
Bride of Frankenstein. That was really close to being in my top 5. I love this movie.
Grown.
James Whale. Yeah. Well, you're a dick. So
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. No, you're a dipshit.
Dipshit.
Does that make you feel better?
Yeah. Okay. It's a good word.
I love this movie. I think it's great. I think it's better than the original, and I love the original. You don't know. You didn't watch it at the right time. You missed the boat on the Frankenstein, just like you missed the boat on the Jason movies, which is where my next honorable mention, part 4, the final chapter, Friday the 13th.
Nice.
Corey Feldman and Crispin Glover.
Yep.
Great.
It's just a crazy movie.
Yeah,
when he like shaves his, Corey Feldman shaves his head. He's like a little boy and he kills Jason.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be the end, but then it wasn't.
It wasn't. He went to space.
Yeah, I remember watching that going, this is crazy, but I am just loving every bit of it.
And I mean, there's just so many sequels I love. I almost wanted to do just amazingly bad sequels that I love, so I could put like Superman 3 because it's just so ridiculous.
Well, we got to do.
You hinted at that.
Guilty pleasure sequels.
Guilty pleasure sequels.
So was that it for your list?
Yeah, I don't want to. I could just go on and on with sequels.
Brian,
most of them were mentioned. I think the only one that wasn't is Linklater's Before Sunset.
Oh yeah.
Oh nice. I didn't think about that one.
You think a movie with just people walking and talking would be boring as shit, and it's not. It's completely engrossing.
Good movie.
And the two Jakes.
And the two Jakes. No, and just the only other thing was...
Rugrats in Paris.
just throw it out there because it's actually fantastic. Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
We talked about
We talked about that last week, I think.
Yeah. Well, we had to listen on the podcast. A few
weeks ago.
No, three weeks ago. We were talking about
3 weeks ago.
Christmas episode. Movies.
Oh, that's right. Three weeks ago.
Did everybody like it?
The second one?
Yes.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just like it's got all the... It's again, when you're a kid, it's got like all the different
thank you.
Gremlins, you know? You get like electronic gremlin, spider gremlin.
Yeah, that was where you're coming from. The electronic gremlin.
You like Gremlins too, and you think Avatar's a good movie. I get it. I see where you're coming from.
We're going to get hate mail now. And you want to see Titanic 3D.
No, I don't.
You said it looked great.
I said I see it with movie
bags. He said he'd see it. Yeah. I'm saying the...
He said he's going to be first in line, midnight showing with his kids.
I don't care if Holden doesn't get it. I'm going to make him watch it.
Then he's probably going to start trying to like stand up on the edge of Queen Mary and say he's the king of the world. No Long Beach trips with Holden.
Kids are impressionable.
Yeah. Well, anyway, before we go, let's talk about Dark Knight Rises. So I've been doing a lot of this. I've been covering my mouth and just saying random words.
Oh, well, okay. We didn't talk about this last week, but the prologue that you saw is Bane unintelligible.
Yes. And
I can hear what he's saying half the time.
Yeah, I can hear what he's saying half the time.
Is it annoying or is it like, hey, that's kind of cool?
I know people tweeted. I know actors who tweeted.
Don't make me fall out of my chair again.
Is Dark Knight Rises have time travel?
Wait. It doesn't. But
I don't know that.
There's some tweets from like famous like directors and actors that got to see it 2 weeks ago, and I think Jon Favreau or one of those directors said that there was even before the prologue there was an introduction by Christopher Nolan where he talked about that he still had to like work on the voice and stuff. The prologue isn't done.
And
the trailer's done. So the voice you hear in the trailer is more like it's going
to
be in the movie.
It did take me 2 listens to the trailer to hear him, but. I feel like that's because I'm watching it on my computer speakers, I think. In the theater, you'll catch it.
I like the voice, like the accent or whatever that he's got. That's great. But it was just like certain moments, what he was saying, I couldn't hear. But it was also a theater full of people cheering the whole time it was playing.
Yeah. Well, because he's dropping words too, right?
I didn't notice him dropping. I couldn't.
Like the accent is, he's sort of, it's not.
I don't think he's dropping words.
No. Nope. Yeah, I don't think so.
He speaks English.
Yeah.
No, I just.
Full English, not Pidgin.
He's not like. Jamaican, you know?
No, but not to the extent of like Yoda or something, but he has
Okay, now I want that.
No, but I'm saying like it just seemed like he had the cadence sounded interesting. The cadence seemed interesting. And what I do like
is that's a good movie too. Charlie Sheen.
Well, one thing I want to say is when they first announced the title, The Dark Knight Rises, not everybody was on board, and I wasn't necessarily on board, but in Nolan you trust because even just with the trailer, you're already realizing that it's not just arbitrary. He didn't just make up, like, you know, Batman 2 mission.
Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah. you know, it wasn't just like, hey, Rises sounds cool. Let's slap that on there. It's obviously something that's going to end up being thematic just from the trailer. You know that already. So I'm liking that. It's making the title come around.
Are you done? Anyway. So we've talked about Dark Knight for this week. And a little bit of business. You can find us at The List Film Podcast. That's where you'll find all our links, the links to Shooting the Script on Adam's profile page. And you can find me on Twitter you can find the podcast on Twitter at The Film Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Ricardo Ultreras. That's Ricardo, Ultreras.
You can find me at Brian with a Y, Parrill.
You can find me at Adam Scott, @_AdamScott. With 2 T's.
And you can find me at KZuberBeer. That's ZUBERBIER.
Yeah, and if you go to the website, you'll find all the links to everything, our Twitters, like I said, the blog, Shooting the Script, all that stuff. So that's it for this week. And I think this will carry us into the new year, I believe, right? This podcast?
Yep. Sounds good. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And have a good week.